What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. We're getting really close to the weekend.
So close, you can almost taste it.
I can.
You can smell it. Ooh, I've got smell it coming on in.
Smell-o-vision.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Well, it's a beautiful thing that's Thursday, really. Like, we're about to head into another weekend. I actually have such a busy weekend.
You do?
Yeah, because I have a wedding this weekend, so do you. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bridesmaid, so I just have wedding festivities all weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Wedding duties, you know.
You have duties?
I have a lot of duties.
Big brown duties?
No. You didn't have to say brown. It could have just been big duties.
Yellow duties?
No, like just because they're duties.
Yeah. You know? I just wanted to really hone in on the fact that I was referring to duty as in poop, not duty as in job.
And I was referring to duty with a T.
And I'm always referring to duty with a D.
And that's just the difference between us.
Into the toilet, out the sewer, into all that gross manure. See the water spinning round. Then I slam the lid back down. My duty brown, my duty brown, my duty brown, my duty. Brown.
That was a nice note you hit on due day.
It kind of was.
It was kind of like sickening.
Yeah.
Also, this would be a good time for me to tell everyone that I'm going to be out next week. I am going on vacation, but I will be like remote working. So a few episodes will be audio only with me. Some will be in the studio with Claudia.
And oh, they will?
Guest co-host. Yeah, I thought
Did I say that?
Yeah, you had said that.
Theo just farted. It'll be really touch and go because I totally forgot that I had offered to do that.
Okay,
and I have made no plans.
Regardless, there's going to be 5 shows next week. It's just going to be, you know.
Some audio, perhaps some in studio. Maybe I'll do one by myself.
You tried that once.
It's so hard.
Yeah, that, if you're ever wondering like why we don't do that, Claudia tried it once at the Breath.
In my defense, like we were new to podcasting.
Yeah.
I feel like now I could podcast in my sleep. Like I might be able to do it better, but I don't even know if I want to give it a shot. Where would I sit? Like, you know,
right here,
literally
on the table.
So I don't know. It just would feel weird.
Maybe you could give it another go.
I'm down because I actually feel like that's a really good, I'm always trying to like hone my skills, you know, in comedy,
yes,
podcasting, hosting. And I think that's actually a really good skill to have, to be able to host a podcast alone. There are very few people who do it without consistent guests / co-hosts. And it's very impressive.
And there are very few people who do it live.
Well,
like our show isn't streamed live anymore, but it's still live. Like it's stream of conscious. We don't edit or like have
right.
segments or anything.
We sit here for 1 hour, record it and post it.
Right. But if you were to do, you know, I'm going to record 15 minutes here by myself and then the next segment, like that does make it.
That's true.
More doable.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be hysterical if you tried it.
I know. A little scary.
Really scary. Really, really. What if you have to take a sip of water?
What if I have to, like, pee? I don't know.
I mean, that would happen on this show, too.
I know. I always think about that. How, like, honestly, I went on tour for 2 years, and I didn't sneeze on stage once.
Your body just knows.
Yeah. Except I did have diarrhea before my show in Houston, but that was really my fault. It was the Whataburger. I take full responsibility for my actions.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
And you take full responsibility for bringing up duty thrice now on the show. It's not even been 3 minutes.
Duty. I did it for. Oh, can we talk about my shirt?
Can we please?
So a lot of people, there was outrage from the community, rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Right. Thank you, community. I didn't even realize until you guys said something on my behalf, and I was just like, yeah.
On Tuesday, you gave me the shirt. I said I was going to wear it the next day, but as we spoke about yesterday, I had a lunch meeting yesterday, and I was not showing up to the Regency in this shirt. I'm sorry. So I had to wear like a nice adult shirt.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Logan.
Sorry, Logan. So I wore it today. I was really excited to wear it. I have to say,
this is her Maverick Athletic shirt.
Yes, for those who can't see or are listening as a podcast. I have to say, like, we are fully immersed in the merchandising industry. Like, we look at constant samples. this shirt is so comfortable. Like, we've got to get this exact prototype for our next drop. It's like stretchy, but like fitted at the same time. It's like a fabulous material. You know how I have like three shirts I wear in rotation? That pink one that has all the rips in it intentionally. That Arkansas one.
We know Arkansas.
So I do believe this is going to be thrown into the rotation. It's so comfortable and it's black, so it can't get stained.
I'm so happy to hear that. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much for this wonderful, thoughtful, and generous gift.
You're so welcome. Now, I saw someone commented yesterday. Now I have to get you a leash with
you do.
With the contraption.
You do.
I'll talk to Zach because he made ours. So maybe he can make you one too.
He made it?
It was two things put together that he just sort of like contrapted.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so you guys are MacGyver. So crafty over at the Wine Reb house.
He's such a MacGyver.
Stop. He's such a Belle's dad.
No, Belle. Belle was innovator. Maurice was just the agitator.
Was just a deadbeat dad. We have a great show for you guys today. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was on last night. We finally got to the entree.
We got
the meat and potatoes.
We did. And I really need to talk through how I'm feeling because I don't know how I'm feeling. And maybe how you're feeling can shed light on how I'm feeling.
Okay.
Because you're not buying it.
I don't want to spoil the TV recap because it's at the end of the show, but I'll tell you how I feel back then.
Give us a little taste of whether or not you're buying it.
I got my credit card out and I bought it. Like, I fully purchased what Erica Jane was selling.
Wow. Okay.
It was very emotional. I don't know how you could watch that and not think she was innocent.
I was looking on Twitter after and everyone was like, crocodile tears, intentionally wore non-waterproof mascara to film herself crying, even though she's been in theater for her whole life. And if she really knew she was like so feeling so emotional, she obviously would have worn waterproof mascara.
Can I tell you, I did think something similar about the mascara. I was like, it's just like a lot of black makeup coming down your face when like you probably knew you were going to cry. I had similar thoughts about the mascara.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Cool. Thank you for that taste.
Yes. Well, we're going to dive into it. But before we do that, we wanted to let you guys know that yesterday, Jackie and I spent the afternoon recording a very fabulous podcast episode for our Patreon channel, which is an exclusive Dear Toasters. So we do Dear Toasters once a week. And a lot of people are like, Claudia, Jackie, that ain't enough. And we hear you. So we dedicated an entire 50-minute episode to Dear Toasters. We got some really interesting submissions of things we've never spoken about, just like interesting pickles people have found themselves in. We get into religion. We get into in-laws.
Oh, my God. The in-law stuff. I was laughing so hard yesterday because then
I was dying at the MLM.
Oh, the ML.
But we were being so funny.
When there was a question about like what you should call your in-laws, like this woman has been dating her fiance for 10 years and just kind of waits till she makes eye contact with her in-laws in order to address them because she doesn't want to call them by their first names, doesn't want to call them Mr. and Mrs. And then there was this whole thread
in
Toast After Dark that like everyone does this.
I was cracking. The fact that like I thought this girl was unique in her situation. When the episode came out, somebody started a thread in the Facebook group for all the Patreon members called Toast After Dark. You can only get it if you become a member. And every single person was like, I literally have never referred to my in-laws as anything. I just wait for them to address me. It's the most shocking thing.
It's hysterical. Someone was like, once you have kids, then you can call them like grandma and grandpa. She's like, I should have had kids sooner.
Literally. Guys, it's such a funny episode. It's available on our Patreon, patreon.com/amorningtoast for $7.99. per month. You can get 5 extra episodes from us. They're vlogs. Like, we just vlogged my birthday. We vlogged so many of our trips, the Great Chile Cook-Off. And we also do podcast episodes. We do podcast episodes, general Q&As. We do Dear Toaster submissions. We do Toast Radio, which isn't always, it's a controversial segment, but we've stopped doing it.
Toast Radio has been deceased now for about 2 years.
I saw somebody request it in the Facebook group yesterday.
Ask and you shall receive.
So yeah, there's just tons of good stuff. It's a great way to support the podcast and get more content for days when you're just like really chugging along to 5 o'clock.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Okay, now I guess without further ado, where are you right here being perfect? It is time for the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Helium 10. Imagine the freedom of being your own boss and running a business that best suits your lifestyle and schedule. Helium 10 wants to tell you how to embark on a smart career where you call the shots. Starting your own Amazon business is a great way to do that. It's the best way to work from home and be your own boss. Amazon isn't just an online superstore. It's actually a marketplace that connects Amazon buyers and Amazon sellers. Anyone can become a seller thanks to Fulfillment by Amazon and to Helium 10 software. And with Fulfillment by Amazon handles the complicated and expensive parts of running a business, like receiving inventory, warehouse storage, shipping, and even returns. Over half of the products sold on Amazon are by everyday normal folks using Fulfillment by Amazon. Helium 10 is an all-in-one software suite designed to help people just like you launch, build, and manage a profitable business on Amazon. Helium 10 is like a business in a box. It has all the tools and training to guide you to your journey of financial and personal independence. There's no invention or big idea required. Helium 10 will find you the right product to sell and handle so many other aspects of your business. Plus, the startup cost for launching a business on Amazon is much smaller than you'd think, a fraction of what other ventures might require. Helium 10 has been used by over a million people worldwide, and they collectively account for roughly $4 billion in e-commerce sales per month. So get in there, get your coin. You've got free time, you want to just make some money on the interwebs? Check it out. Work when you want and from wherever you want. Take advantage of this incredible offer from Helium 10, getting 50% off your first month of the Helium 10 Platinum account when you go to helium10.com/toast. That's helium10.com/toast. Don't wait to get that 50% off your first month. Go to helium10.com/, you guessed it, toast.
Thank you for that. First up is a little free Britney news. Britney Spears has a big win in her conservatorship case as judge allows her to hire her own attorney. Britney Spears is getting new representation. During a court hearing Wednesday, Judge Brenda Penny approved Spears' request to hire her own lawyer in her conservatorship case following the resignation of her court-appointed attorney. Spears was also granted permission.
That's crazy that Britney was using a court-appointed attorney for the last however many years.
Yeah. She was also granted permission to hire Matthew Rosengart, whose firm has represented the likes of Steven Spielberg, Sean Penn, Ben Affleck, and Eddie Vedder.
I'm so glad Ben Affleck's lawyer is working with Britney. I just have to say, I'm sure this guy Matthew is great, but there's truly only one person for the job, and that's Elle Woods.
Oh, you really think so?
100%.
Maybe that's what Legally Blonde 3 will be about.
Yes, I love that. That's actually a really good concept.
It is. I think they probably already started filming, but, you know, it's never too late to switch it up.
Never,
ever. No one has compassion like Elle.
No one. And nobody really understands the ins and outs of the legal system and the use of legal jargon quite like Elle Woods.
No, and nobody understands sisterhood like Elle. Screw sisterhood.
Totally. I think it's actually a great match.
I think so, too.
I hope this lawyer can do justice for Britney. I mean, this is like such a, it's a win, but it's like relatively.
It's a small win.
Yeah.
Very small.
Because I do feel like there's still so much corruption in whatever this court case is, this court-appointed lawyer, the judge. I just feel like everyone's being paid off. So like, yes, she can fight her hardest, but at the end of the day, I just feel like the odds are against her.
Well, I had also heard that like she had a court-appointed attorney to begin with because she could have easily hired an attorney who would have taken advantage of the situation because, like, she's in a conservatorship and, like, there's, like, they did that trying to protect her. Like, here's a court-appointed attorney who has no, you know, stake in the matter. Mm-hmm. And that obviously wasn't working out for her. But I think that that was the original intention. It wasn't like, not give her representation. It was to make sure that, like, she didn't get taken advantage by a big law firm
right. That
sees this case. Like Girardi Keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, Girardi Keys. I don't know how I'm going to just not talk about it until the end of the show.
You know what they say? That famous proverb is so true. All roads lead to Girardi Keys.
Yeah, it's really.
And what? Who is Keys?
I don't know.
Right? In a law firm, it's like Allen, Allen, and Allen. You know, yeah. Like those are people.
So Keys is probably a person.
Probably a person going to jail.
Not a good person. Are you ready for our next story and couples looking miserable in public news?
My absolute favorite type of news to report on because who can relate more than me?
Hailey Bieber blasts beyond false rumors surrounding Las Vegas incident involving Justin. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but not if you're one of entertainment's hottest couples. Taking to Instagram stories on Wednesday, Hailey Bieber shut down rumors about an alleged incident that went down in Sin City between her and Justin. She said, reminiscing on how amazing last weekend was, had the best time surrounded by so much love. And then she said, any other narrative floating around is beyond false. Don't feed into the negative bullshit, peeps. Peace sign.
Right. So he had a concert in Vegas, and after the concert, they were walking through the casino. People were filming them, and somebody caught them like rounding a corner where he appeared to be yelling at Hailey. She's very calm, and he's like all hyped up talking about something. We have literally no idea what he's talking about, but of course, the Jelena fans blew that video up, and now everyone's like, he's yelling at her, like poor Hailey. And honestly, as someone who is constantly, you know,
yelling at your spouse.
Yeah. It's really not that big of a deal. And I just feel like this narrative being stirred up by the Jelena stands, which I want to talk about the Jelena stands for one minute.
I didn't know this was the Jelena stands doing.
I saw it on TikTok first, like 2 days ago before normal people see it. Jelena, like, oh, Haley, like, leave Haley alone. These Jelena fans are so toxic. They are grown ass people who dedicate their lives. I actually can understand, like, a grown person spending a lot of their time, energy in a fandom, like I do with Taylor Swift. Like, there's really nothing not normal about that to me. But to do that for a couple that hasn't been together in 5 years,
yeah,
maybe more, is beyond my genuine comprehension of normal human behavior. And I think that we really need to get these people evaluated who run these Jelena TikTok accounts. Like, you would die at the content. Like, it drives me up a wall. It's like, you are literally glamorizing, one, something that we know to be such a toxic behavior, as such a toxic relationship, and we're like bringing down Haley so that we could bring this toxic couple back together. Like, I don't understand the impetus behind it. I really don't.
Yeah.
So I'm so team Haley. It's disgusting.
Yeah, me too. I feel like we always get these snippets, and honestly, anything without context can be made to look like something completely that bad. It isn't, but we always get these snippets of Justin, like, you know, looking kind of miserable,
yes,
in public.
I've seen, like, oh, he won't hold her hand. Like, they got out of a car and she wanted to hold his hand and he didn't. Like, sometimes I don't want my hand held. Like, that's not
a lot of times I don't want my hand held. Like, if your palms are clammy, get them away.
Yeah. If it's hot out.
If I'm cold and your hand is cold, ooh, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very sensitive about hand holding as well. I also, in the video, like, he could be yelling about any number of things.
He just got off stage. He's hyped up.
He's swarmed by a mob. You think he's going to take that time?
Right. A million people watching. Let me yell at my wife. It's just so ridiculous. And I actually feel bad because I've somehow ended up on, like, Jelena TikTok. And there's so many videos that, of course, like, don't look great. Like, yes, he, you know, gets out of the car when the paparazzi are filming and he slams the door in Haley's face. Like, do I think he's trying to hurt Haley? No. Do I think he's, like, self-centered and didn't realize his wife was getting out on the same side of the car? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel, because if it were me in a relationship and people were filming every little thing I did, you could find 30,000 things a day that could be perceived as, like, Ben being mean to me or me being mean to Ben. Like, no, it's just called being married. Like, let it go.
Yeah.
Normalize married people having conflict.
In public.
On podcasts.
Yeah, and I think the more public it is, the healthier.
I completely
agree. Well, it depends.
Yeah, but
it,
like, depends. If it's all hidden behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, totally.
It's all depends.
I just refuse to believe any other narrative that Haley and Justin are really in love.
I know.
And they're a good, strong couple who have, like, a mutual faith. And I just really feel like I refuse to believe anything else. I really do.
I was just looking at some of their wedding photos. It must have been their anniversary or something, because all these photos were coming up. And I was actually thinking, like, it's so crazy that they're, like, the biggest couple in the world. And they really had such, like, a normal wedding. Like, you know, yes, with, like, you know, we're going to invite all of our friends.
And in a church. Like, it wasn't crazy. Like, it was beautiful.
Like, they're just really a traditional couple.
They are.
So
faith-based traditional couple.
Yeah. So I believe that they had a wonderful weekend. I actually think like, he was everywhere this weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I feel like they had such a great weekend in Vegas.
No, I know. She's, like, so supportive of his dreams. And I feel like Justin Bieber has been and will continue to be one of the biggest pop stars in the world. But they said that in Scooter Braun's article, like, he can't tour. And I think Haley is, like, this grounding force.
Right. That's what Scooter said, that this tour is going to be different because Haley's there.
Right. He, like, quit his tour mid... What was that album, Purpose?
Yeah.
So good. He, like, quit in the middle because he, like, just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Which I understand. But now I feel like we're going to see a whole new era of Justin Bieber.
Agreed. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Are you ready for our next story? It's a little ice cream.
Leave Haley alone. Sorry.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah. More ice cream news?
It's ice cream news, but it's good ice cream news.
Thank God. I'm so done with this twisted ice cream news from yesterday. I'm still vomiting. Me and Jackie both walked in and said we had the weirdest dreams last night. And we think it's because of the poisonous Kraft mac and cheese ice cream we tried on air yesterday. If you missed it, go check out yesterday's episode on YouTube and podcast app.
Yeah, but I've been seeing that ice cream, like, everywhere.
People are like, it's so good. What's wrong with everyone?
It tastes exactly what you think it tastes like. Like, Kraft mac and cheese frozen.
Why is that good?
Are you interested in that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just freeze your mac and cheese?
Yeah, literally. Make a sorbet for yourself.
Put it in a blender. Mix it up.
And now you're in a blender.
Okay, but some exciting ice cream news. Tyra Banks is launching an ice cream company called Smize Cream.
Oh, such a good name.
Smize Cream isn't just an ice cream shop. Tyra Banks hopes her new ice cream company, named after her signature modeling expression of smiling with your eyes, is the start of an empire with a reach and scope akin to Disney. She says, Walt Disney is one of my inspirations, my role models. I look at what he did and how it's still relevant to this day. His legacy lives on, the family entertainment, the happiest place on earth. That's what I want, a legacy. Smize comprises not only a collection of 7 ice cream flavors, including the best vanilla I ever had, that's the name of it, cookie caramel, Caramel Queen and Chocolate Barbecue, but also a cast of original animated characters, including DJ Splits and Lil Y. She said, we're going to do movies and cartoons. We have a book proposal about DJ Splits being the matriarch of the family and her grandson, Lil Y, who thinks he has magic, but he doesn't. One day magic happens involving a factory and ice cream, and it changes the fate of their lives. Wow, that sounds so good.
I'm not understanding what's going on.
Okay, she's launching an ice cream company with, you know, a lot
and,
of...
And it's akin to Disney?
Well, she has big dreams for it, just like, you know, Walt Disney had big dreams for his end. Like, I think she's just inspired by Walt Disney.
Aren't we all?
I don't think this means necessarily there's going to be movies and parks, but it's just like, I have a dream of creating something.
Really, I kind of got from this that there will be movies and parks.
But no, but she's not saying I want Smize Cream to model the Walt Disney company.
Okay.
She's saying, like, I want to,
be its own
build
universe.
Something bigger than myself, Walt Disney before me.
Got it. And well, the name is great.
The name is great. I think it's a great start. A really cute concept of having, like, characters.
Yes.
And I just love... I mean, Lil Y thinks he has magic, but he doesn't.
No, I mean, the campers are fucking quaking right now.
The campers are excited about this news because they love ice cream and they love Tyra Banks.
They do.
She's a great role model for the campers.
She is a great role model for people.
People
everywhere.
And campers who and need campers. Role models. Oh, my God. Speaking of the campers... Watching last night, Portia and Kyle.
Oh, devastating.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, once again, just...
Once again, all roads lead back to Tom Girardi Keys.
Yes. Anyways, so that's some exciting ice cream news. I'm sure it's going to be delicious. And looking forward to seeing what else comes of Smize Cream Empires.
Yes, me as well. I wish I had something else to say.
Would you try this Smize Cream?
Yeah, of course. She said it's the best vanilla she's ever had.
That's the name of it.
What? It like still must be the best vanilla she's ever had, if that's the name of it.
Yeah.
I'll try it for sure. This is actually good, normal ice cream. Like, I mean, I went on my whole rant earlier in the week, and I actually read a lot of comments. People did not agree with me, but I still don't care. Normalize not making ice cream fancy. Like, the shittier, the better.
Yeah, this looks like good old-fashioned
ice
cream.
Ooh, that does look delicious.
Yeah, it's called That Flavor Strawberry Birthday Cake.
So, ooh, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. My favorite ice cream. Have you thought of, like, what the best ice cream you've ever had is?
I'd have to think more. I have to spend more time. But it also, it depends like where you are eating it. Like it's like.
The experience as well.
Yes.
But I'm talking about just the ice cream itself.
I couldn't tell you.
Mine's Gabelle's. Do you remember?
Yeah. But I think that's where you are eating it. Like you're in this like old fashioned.
You're on the side of a highway.
And also we're like coming straight from fat camp where we haven't had a real piece of, you know, ice cream in a few months.
That is a good call.
Everything tastes better when you're
when
on.
When you're in the Poconos at fat camp.
When you're on leave from fat camp.
Yeah. So there was this ice cream place near fat camp called Gabelle's. It was like an old school like shop, like burgers, fries, shakes. And they have the best, if you're ever in the Poconos, go to, I think it's called Gabelle's, whatever. The birthday cake ice cream, it's like literally has chunks of vanilla, like box cake in it. It's so good. So like when I think of the best ice cream I've ever had, I always think about that. Like I would actually drive 2 hours today just to go get it.
I would go with you.
Let's go.
It's really not that long
for
of a drive.
For our mukbang that we're never going
to
do.
Add it to the mukbang. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by, Curology.
Yes, it is.
Did you used to think your skin goals were unattainable, Jackie? I know I grew up with like such dry skin with so many blackheads, and I was like, this is just going to be my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, we found Curology. Whether you're trying to take control of acne, or if acne is no longer your top skin concern, fine lines, dark spots, occasional breakouts, clogged pores, Curology will customize a prescription formula with 3 active ingredients picked for you to tackle your skincare needs. So when I took their... filled out the questionnaire, I really highlighted how my skin is super dry and like can be flaky, but also certain parts of my skin are so oily. It's like confusing.
Yeah, combination skin.
That's what I learned that I have. And all these blackheads on my chin and my nose that I just like assumed were there forever. I really liked how personalized the questionnaire was because literally everyone's skin is so different. So you get your treatment plan. You start by answering questions online about your skin and sending in a couple selfies to Curology. That was a dark moment, like seeing my skin in the natural.
Yes, yeah. No filter, nothing.
Then they'll match you with a licensed dermatology provider who gets to know your skin. And if it's a good fit, you'll get a customized prescription cream to address your acne, fine lines, dark spots, and more. Then Curology sets you up with a personalized treatment plan and ships your formula, which is custom, right to your door. So I got a cleanser, I got a prescription cream, and I got a moisturizer, and it's just so simple. I feel like it's confusing sometimes. Like, do I need to use 50 skincare products or 5. It's confusing. So I feel like 3 is the perfect amount. I've definitely noticed a huge change in my skin, especially when it comes to the texture of my skin. It's a lot more healthy and not crusty almost, which is like a gross way to describe it. Take control of your acne, dark spots, breakouts, or whatever your unique concerns are with a powerful skincare treatment made just for you. Go to Curology.com/toast to unlock your free 30-day trial. Again, that's Curology.com/toast for a free 30-day trial. And you can see Curology.com for all the details, but Curology.com/toast for that free 30-day trial.
Great. Yeah, no, your skin is looking sickening, stunning, right? And stunning, people glowing, have been, like, fabulous. Noticing
on my Instagram, which is nice.
That is nice. Next story, a little throwback news. MTV is bringing back hit TV series Cribs 20 years later.
Oh, I think that's a wise decision.
Your favorite real estate show from childhood is back. MTV announced Wednesday it's revived its hit TV series Cribs more than 20 years since its debut. The show, which gives an inside look at various celebrities and their lifestyles, including a full tour of their homes, is set to return on August 11th, according to a press release. The upcoming season already has an exciting lineup. Do you want to hear whose homes we'll be seeing?
Well, I just want to say before that, I think this is so great. I think it took them like a little too long with the advent of like the YouTube home tour and how popular they are. Like, Cribs could have been cashing in on this for the last like 10 years.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure like a year ago we announced Cribs was coming back, and then you said that, and now I guess.
Did I?
Yeah, you said like they're behind, like we get YouTube home tours of everyone's houses.
And I will watch a YouTube home tour of literally any rich person. Like, it's so fascinating.
It really is. So here is who's on this season so far, and
Rach Parcell isn't on it, then I don't want it.
Not even close. First, Ashley Simpson and Evan Ross. Didn't they have a reality show? So don't we know what their house looks like?
And
if
also,
we want to know.
Like, not to be mean, but like, who cares?
Agreed.
I think Hollywood like really needs to stop trying to make like Ashley Simpson and Evan Ross as a couple happen. Like, we got their reality show. It got canceled. And like, we're not interested.
We said no thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Big Sean. Christian Siriano.
Cool.
Johnny Weir. JoJo Siwa.
Yes, even though like I've seen her house.
Yeah, like we know every single crevice.
Every YouTuber like comes in and like films her house, and she did a full-fledged tour.
Yeah. Jordan Woods, Kathy Griffin, Marseille Martin.
Kathy Griffin will be interesting. She's actually like a rich celebrity.
Yeah. Martha Stewart.
Fabulous.
Nick Young, Nico Tortorello.
Nick Young, does he play for the Lakers? I think so.
Wow, look at
you. I think they call him Swaggy P if I'm...
Whoa, yeah, they do call him Swaggy P.
He dated Iggy Azalea. He's like a really, I think, a good basketball player, so he's definitely like rich and has like a nice house.
Love to see it. Snooki, Rick Ross.
Snooki's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
Ryan Lochte, Scott Disick, Tia Mowry, Tinashe, TJ Lavin, and others.
Okay, not bad, not great. I also think, first of all, if I was in charge of the Cribs franchise, I would do like multiple digital series on like Snapchat or something, because I really want to see inside Rach Parcell's house. Like, I think influencers, people are obsessed with influencers home tour, like people from The Bachelor, like reality
but
stars.
Influencers generally give you a home tour.
No,
like,
I know.
Everyone from The Bachelor has a home tour on YouTube.
I would just really like for them to not do it exclusively in LA. Like, one of my favorite Cribs is Mariah Carey's penthouse in the city. Like,
yeah,
it's interesting. Like, of course, big houses in LA are cool, but I'd like to see a ranch in Wyoming, a penthouse in Manhattan,
yeah,
a sick condo beachfront in Miami. Like, I really want to see a national Cribs. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they do that. I don't know if all those people live in LA. A lot of them do.
I don't know either. Maybe just for the first season, because they obviously probably filmed during COVID. Like, they stuck to one place. I feel like the cast, like, it's not bad. It's not great, though. And if you think about who used to be on Cribs, like, this is a step down.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, Simon Cowell, 50 Cent, Hugh Hefner, Snoop Dogg, Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne, Tony Hawk. Like,
yeah, they needed, like, three marquee people to, like, market this around. Like, they needed... Martha Stewart could have been one of those people.
Yeah. But they sort of buried her in there.
Yeah. I don't think there's two other people who are, like, big enough names. They needed, like, Martha Stewart. They needed, like, a Kardashian, sorry.
Yeah.
And they needed, like, someone huge in sports, like A-Rod or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this will be the launching. Maybe they have to work their way up again to, like, establish, like, that people even care about Cribs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like it's another reboot that we're not going to be hearing about.
No. And you know what I have come to realize as an adult, like, when watching Cribs? They showed us, like, 4 rooms in the house.
They
never showed
yet.
Us like a true tour of the house. Of course, some of them were really big, so like it took, but they always showed us the kitchen, master bedroom, and the outside and the garage. Like,
yeah,
there are other parts of the home.
Yeah, no,
what does your laundry room look like?
Movie theater, we would see.
Yeah, or like a game room. But we never saw like the kids' bedrooms.
Or, like, yeah, like guest room.
Yeah, we never saw a full home tour. They were like really, they were 30-minute episodes, and I think there was two people per episode. So that's like 12 minutes, and it's just not enough time.
Or maybe that's what made it good. Like, you never got bored. You always wanted more. Now I'm sure we'll be like, is this over yet?
That's a good call.
You know, I'm good on your mudroom.
Yeah, right. No, but like, there is a true mudroom community.
Yeah, there is. But like, I don't know. Like, but that's for like the Instagram, influencer, yeah. Instagram people.
We'll see.
And I don't know how popular mudrooms are in LA.
How much doesn't rain is there? No, I think it's like popular everywhere.
You know, like to have like a room for your, you know, umbrellas and stuff.
But no, like, but that's not what a mudroom is for. It's like for like the kids' backpacks. Like you have like a little cubby, like you leave your shoes there.
And mud.
And of course mud, but like it's more than just like a place for when it rains.
When it like rains, just, it pours,
you basically though. Like leave all your shit there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Your dog leash, your dog poop bags.
Yeah. If you have poop
a
bags.
A dog. Yeah.
Okay, our fifth and final story is a twofer, a little Real Housewives news that'll even lead into our TV recap. How does that sound?
It's the final story.
Oh, I couldn't hit what pitch you took us to.
It's the final story.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do. Okay.
First up, Ramona Singer is denying being fired from Roni. Fans asked her on her Instagram, did you get fired? Fans want to know. And she replied, quote, nope.
Yeah. I feel like since we reported on this news and then we watched the episode and there's been new reports coming out like about the reunion, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
I'm more convinced than ever that Ramona's probably not getting fired.
Agreed.
One, because I don't think it would be the proper remedy. If Ramona gets fired, a bunch of other people need to get fired. I don't think just firing Ramona is enough to salvage this. Show. And two, yeah, she said no, so
yeah. I think like honestly people at Roni production are quaking because also Page Six reported that the current season 13 reunion taping has been pushed back from August 5th until September amid a decline in ratings. And
but
the
why
film,
why
maybe like
what would that have to do, what would pushing the reunion back have to do with declining ratings? Just curious.
I don't know. I feel like if they were to film the reunion like right now, pretty much like really nothing's happened like off the show.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're waiting for more of the season to play out to get more fan reactions so that they can talk about that at the reunion.
There's literally nothing to say.
There's nothing to say. And filming on the next season is being delayed until early 2022. And usually they start filming in the fall.
At the end of the summer. Yeah.
Yes.
So honestly, I think this gives them a lot more time to start looking for some new women. And I feel like actually if casting wants to reach out to me, I have some good ideas like for people like that are notable and people that I know. Like I yeah. think that the show needs a complete reboot.
Would you nominate yourself?
I mean, I have like literally one time someone from Shed Media, which is the production company, reached out to me and they were like, hey, how you doing? Like, we want to know, do you have any people you would recommend? And I just wrote back, yeah, me. Never heard back. So I think if I ever get reached out to again, I will give like an actual list of people who I think would be down and who have a lot of money and are interesting and funny and like to go out and party.
And would you still say and me?
Like, of course, it would be like a list of 10 people.
Are you still interested?
It would be a list of 10 people, Claudia Ashray.
So you're interested still?
Of course.
Okay. That's, even I think though, it's good like, to know.
Logistically and just like metaphysically, you cannot be on The Real Housewives of New York if you have a podcast where you talk about it. It's just like a line that can't be crossed.
For sure. But like if you got the gig, we would stop talking about it.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's an easy solve.
So I don't really know where what's going to happen, all of this information. And by the way, you were right when you said that the reports about Ramona coming out were on like a bunch of blogs and none of it was on Page Six. When there is actual information to be leaked about Roni, it goes straight to Page Six, like this reunion news. So
yeah,
the Ramona firing thing, I'm currently not in believing.
Agreed. And then our other piece of Real Housewives news is that the Real Housewives of Miami were seen filming with some new faces. The cast was spotted filming the upcoming Peacock series Saturday during Larsa Pippen's birthday party at Miami hotspot Kiki on the River. An insider exclusively told Page Six the event's guests included Miami alums Alexia, Marisol, and Adriana.
My favorites.
As well as rumored new cast members Kiki Barth, Nicole Martin, Guerdi Abrera, and Julia Lemigova.
Okay, good. I'm glad they're like spicing it up while also keeping like Adriana, Alexia, Marisol.
I can't believe Larsa made the cut.
I know. So that's what I was going to say. It does get first of all, did I make this up or is this a Peacock show?
This is a Peacock show, which is also weird.
Yeah, very bizarre. Maybe if it's like good enough, it'll get onto Bravo. But I agree. I think the legitimacy of the show is completely destroyed with Larsa. Like, she's so... And first of all, she never would have taken the job if she wasn't ousted from the Kardashian crew.
Of course.
And, like, she's just kind of desperate now. And she just gives me, like, losery vibes. And I'm afraid she'll bring those vibes to the show, which is a very toxic environment.
The only thing I want to say in Larsa's defense, even though, like, I'm totally Team Kardashian, like, she crossed them, she crossed me, it's over, I'm not interested. The few times we did see her on Kardashians, like, she really has the...
Just that one trip.
That one trip with Sarah where she...
Where she was being... Like, everyone was being nuts.
Roasted her.
Yeah.
She has the attitude and personality...
For a show.
For a housewife. And so I feel like if you can separate her from the Kardashian drama... And I don't even remember her on season one of Real Housewives of Miami. I don't think I watched that season.
I did, and I literally don't remember her. But she was still married to Scottie Pippen, so she was like a really big deal in Miami.
Got it. I think I came in at season two, and she was gone because I don't remember her at all. I feel like she could be... I don't know. On the one hand, like, on its face, I'm not here for it. But then when I think about it more, I'm like, if she brings that Sarah Howard energy to the show, like, we've got a great show.
You know what's so funny is that Real Housewives Miami is, like, this experimental kind of, like, guinea pig for Bravo. Remember when they did the live reunion? Mm-hmm. Like, an hour they went live at a reunion. It was so absolutely insane and brilliant. And I feel like they're always doing weird things with this franchise, just using it as, like, a guinea pig. Like, now they're going to be on Peacock. Like,
yeah.
Is anyone going to watch it? We'll see.
We'll see. Also, very upsetting to see that Lisa Hochstein is not a part of it.
Very upsetting. And, you know, the thing with Larsa is that I just feel like she's of a different... Like, I can't see her jiving well with, like, Alexia, Marisol. I don't know the new girls, but I just feel like Larsa's very, like... Instagram, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and the other women are just like more like adults.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Even though they might be like similar ages, because no one knows how old Larsa is.
But it maybe these new girls are like more Instagram.
The bridge.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know,
yeah,
that'll be...
Well, always looking conflict. For more content, so thrilled about this.
Yeah, no, it sounds pretty good. We got some OGs, we got some new people. That's all we were really asking for.
Oh, and Phil Collins' ex-wife is not on it. Was she in that?
I guess not.
Yeah, that was interesting when, like, she was, like, not leaving his house because she didn't get in the divorce and she, like, refuses to leave. Okay. It actually would have been interesting, but I'm sure they didn't want that plastered everywhere.
Yeah, so everything's looking good for Real Housewives of Miami. Now it's time to talk about Girardi Keys.
Girardi Keys, the TV recap segment is brought to you by something we're really excited about, Love Island. After a year of being cooped up at home, it's time to let loose, take some risks, and live it up. No one does that better than the singles on Love Island, now streaming on Paramount Plus. Watch as the Islanders head to Hawaii, pair up, and try not to get eliminated while facing their ultimate temptation with the return of Casa Amor and new challenges that will test their relationships and friendships. Who's being genuine? Who's full of it? You decide what's going down and who goes home with love and cash. Plus, don't miss Love Island exclusives on Paramount Plus, including live hits, behind-the-scenes footage, and extra episodes. It's shaping up to be a summer of romance, passion, and lots of drama. Watch the claws come out and the tears flow with the new season of Love Island, now streaming on Paramount Plus. Head to ParamountPlus.com/Villa to try it for free. And if you've never watched Love Island, I hadn't either, and it's so good, and you don't need to see, like, old episodes. You can just dive into this new season because it's so good.
It's so good. Definitely check it out. We're loving watching it, and I'm so excited for Casa Amor. Like, I just can't even tell you what we are in for.
Okay, I want to talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I felt like it was such a meaty episode while also being so boring. If it weren't for the Erica scenes, there was so much terrible filler. Lisa Rinna on the phone showing her old dresses in her, like, hoarder's garage was truly a sad moment for society. Then Lisa at Sutton's house with her daughter, also Kappa Kappa genius, like, so stupid and boring.
But I liked meeting Sutton's daughter.
By the way, same. There was just so much filler, boring stuff in the episode. And the only thing that made it even remotely interesting was, of course, all the drama with Erica. We got her on Zoom and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What luck? Like, the day we find out,
I know,
that all of this stuff is going down with the Lion Air lawsuit is also the day everyone gets COVID and they all have to quarantine and nobody has good enough Wi-Fi to stream Zoom. Like, that scene, I feel like I got nothing. I couldn't decide whether she was being genuine or not. It was too blurry.
I agree. I felt like, but it was good enough, like, in order, like, there was no, you know, smoking gun there or anything. And I think that actually the visual of her just, like, sitting in her new house, like, played well for her narrative. As opposed to like if she got together with all the women and she's in a full look and she's talking about, you know, like it works out. It worked out kind of.
It wouldn't have looked good.
It would not have looked good. And then, but if she wasn't in a full look, it'd be like, why are you putting on like you?
Yeah, you're such like a looking for sympathy. Like you really can't win.
No, you cannot.
But she's being really open with a lot of the girls, which I found shocking. Like even had Crystal over at her house, who's someone she just met. Like I know she's super close with like Dorit, Kyle, and Rinna. So like I would expect her to have them over at like the biggest, darkest moment in your life. She's having Crystal over, which I just thought was interesting. Like, of course she has to work, but I just found that to be an interesting factoid.
No, I thought it was interesting too. She is being really open, but I think still at this point, it's like
it's not the worst it's gotten.
It's not as bad as it's going to be. I just have like so many confusing things, and I feel like when the articles came out that like, is this a sham divorce? I don't think I ever thought that it was, but
I thought that it could be actually.
Maybe for a second.
The timing was just so peculiar.
Yeah, but I guess like the bigger question is like, did you know that this stuff was coming, and is that why you left? Because who wants to be involved in this? Not so you could help him, right, but because get the fuck away from that.
Yeah, right. She said she saw none of this coming. No, she knew about none of it. And I'm just like also unclear on what her feelings are about Tom. Like, she never explicitly said if she thought Tom did this shit, right?
She didn't, but I feel like
She's implying that she thinks he did.
Yes. But also, like, there's just a few things that are conflicting, because she talks about how, like, their marriage was one thing on the outside and a totally different thing on the inside, which, you know, I can understand. But, like, it was only that way on the outside because she spent so much time
curating,
propping that up. And like, obviously, like, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. But, like, she went above and beyond to talk about how wonderful her marriage was to Tom, and, like, how wonderful he is and what a supportive partner. And, like, nobody was asking her to do any of that because Tom's not even really on the show.
Yeah.
And so the only reason we thought those things is because
you
didn't just mention it. Like, that was your whole story.
No, you're totally right.
So even in her book that I read, like, it was all, like, so grateful. Like,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, like there was no inkling. Not that there would have been, but like she could have focused more on herself.
Right, right, right. No, that is really interesting. And honestly, I did feel like the scene where she and Kyle were sitting outside, like those were real tears. Like, I don't know how you could. But I did think in her confessional when she was like crying, I was like, girl, go to acting classes.
I don't know. I'm so...
All the women are standing by her. Like, Teddy and Rinna and Kyle were all on a boat in Mexico, and they were listening to Expensive, and they were like, we love you, Erica. Like, they are riding or dying for her.
Because, and Sutton said this best, like, there's still no facts about what Erica knew or didn't know. To me, the only, like, really damning fact that I hope gets brought up at some point is the $20 million from Girardi Keys.
But I don't think it'll get brought up because people only found out about it from the documentary.
Brought up at the reunion.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So like that's really the only fact. Everything else is kind of conjecture. Tom was doing all these things. Did you know? Did you not know? You know, Tom's whole world was definitely separate from Erica's.
But then she also said he was like declining mentally.
Right. And I think that's also confusing for people because it's like the way she talked about her love for Tom, like, and if she thought she was going to be with him till the end and now he's starting to deteriorate.
It is the end.
Like, wouldn't you be with him now?
Yeah.
How are you going to leave this man that like you love when he's failing?
No, there are conflicting messages for sure, and I'm really left feeling like I don't know what to think. But Erica is not hiding. Like, she goes on the girls trip next week and they sit at dinner and they just talk about it the whole time. So I do think there's something that's worth noting. Like,
yeah,
if you have nothing to hide, if you have something to hide, you're not, and you're going through this major scandal, you're not seeing all of your friends. You're not going on a girls trip.
Yes, but like her financial situation is extremely precarious. So if I'm her, I'm going every trip. I'm making myself indispensable to this
cast. Show.
Because when all the lawsuits are said and done, like, she's going to need a job.
Yeah, that's so true.
So she has no, she can't not go.
What's crazy to me is like literally, this is like another episode where Dorit is so irrelevant.
Beyond, like,
she was in one scene and it was a flashback that she filmed with Rinna down at her balcony.
Yeah.
And they didn't even air it. They just like clipped to it really quickly.
Yeah.
It's making me worried for her.
I know. But I'm just focused on so many other things. So where I stand right now is I'm still keeping an open mind. Still, you are, you know, presumed innocent until proven guilty. So
yes.
I think, but there's like, we're just sort of waiting.
Yeah. It was confusing. I feel like I didn't get any. It was crazy to see her talk about it and just like finally acknowledge it, because like we're watching the show now for a month and we've known all this information and the show is just catching up. So just to see her even talking about it is crazy.
Yeah.
But I got no clarity, nothing tied up. Like, I'm even more confused. I have more questions than before.
Yeah. But she is talking about it more than I would have expected, yes, given that it's a legal situation. So she could say, I can't answer that. I can't
and
answer that.
And she only said it once.
When she
and
that really was when someone
asked, how did you find out about the lawsuits?
Yeah.
Because that's obviously...
Because also, like, when did you find out that these were coming? Did that
she
influence
can't answer that.
Your decision to leave?
She can't answer that. But I agree. She could have pulled that card a million more times.
But it also could make sense that she found out about these lawsuits, looked at her husband, and was like, you're a monster. I gotta go.
And bounce as fast as it seemed to us.
Right.
Like, she maybe got back from Tahoe and, like, saw something and ran.
Right.
I could see it play out in a million different ways, and they could all potentially
there
be true.
There is still path. There is a path to Erica's innocence.
There is. But there's also a path to her guilt.
Right. So I am just waiting for more facts with Sutton.
We love facts.
Love them.
The party like wrapped up at Rinna's at the beginning of the episode between Crystal and Sutton. And I'm just like, I feel like every time we come on here, I'm like ping ponging between the two. Whose team was I on last week?
I don't know.
Cause I think I'm on Sutton's team now.
No, I'm on team. Please exclude me from this narrative.
Yeah.
Because it's just Sutton needs to, I think Sutton is now like making peace with it. She needs to let it go. Like, she needs to move on. And, like, this will just be, like, this roadblock between them until they can find common ground later on in life.
Crystal's just, like, a little stubborn. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I get that you don't think what you did was wrong, but, like, this woman's crying. Like, just say sorry. Like,
yeah.
And even with the manic thing, like, she was so choosy about her words and how she apologized. Like, even if Sutton was acting manic, like, can you at least acknowledge that, like, that's a word that triggers her? Like, her dad was manic.
Right.
So she can't even say, I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry that you felt hurt. Like, she's a wordsmith. Like, she refuses to give in even in the slightest that, like, might acknowledge her doing some sort of wrong.
Yeah, and so in this situation, it's annoying, but I do look forward to her bringing this energy to a worthy opponent.
To a worthy cause. Like, Sutton, if this was even a remotely interesting fight, like, I would be living for it, but it's so nonsensical.
Yeah, but, like, wherever her next conflict arises, I just hope it's with someone who's, like, you know,
just who we want to fight with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, I was reading like on Twitter, and everyone's just like, you know, they were so like Rinna, Erica, all these women were so quick. Like, oh, Dorice hooked up with Brandy. We're gonna believe that.
Yeah.
And we're gonna, you know,
it's hard not to bring it back to the Denise thing.
And then like, there's these crazy legal rumors about Erica, and they completely stand by her.
No, I know.
And at first I was like, oh, okay, you guys, we can't bring everything back to Denise.
No, but you
then
can.
But then I was like, Denise got...
her life ruined.
For hooking up with Brandy Glanville, like...
Not a crime.
Not a crime.
Nothing wrong with it.
Her personal business.
Yeah.
Erica stands accused of...
of atrocities. And it's like, well, we don't have all the facts.
Right, right.
No, it's so hypocritical.
Yeah.
Especially from Rinna. Like, just... And I actually, if Erica was my friend, I would do the same thing. Like, I would say, Denise was her friend. Like, it's actually, and I don't want to be that person who, like, always brings it back to Denise, but it's worth mentioning because we got no justice.
Yeah. No, but I
hope Andy brings that up.
Yeah. I do think that, you know, if you are Erica's friend and you, like, love and adore Erica and think she's a good person, like, that's what you do. That's what friends do.
Of course.
So these women are true friends,
honestly. But the thing about Denise is, like, even if you found out it was true or not, it's not about Denise being a good person. Like,
yeah.
It's just...
No. Agreed.
It's just so frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
So that's that on that. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, let's wrap up Love Island. I didn't watch last night, but I'm going to watch last night's and tonight's, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Sounds good. I will join you.
Catch up on Love Island with us, and we'll be recapping it tomorrow for Friday's show. It's Friday.
It's so close.
We're so close, you guys. I can smell it. So that's all she wrote. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you, yes, you, need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning. No. Sorry, I fucked it up.
It's okay. Take it from the top. Believe in yourself. You got this.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. No. I keep getting caught in the same trope.
Like, okay, that you need to know every Monday through Friday.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. You know what's nice is that once we start the outro, people probably turn off the episode, so they don't even know that I fucked it up twice.
Right, that's true. And we should also say something crazy right now, so only like the people who stay till the end know.
Yeah, okay, wait, you guys, if you hear this, leave a comment on our Instagram with With the matcha emoji. And just like, we'll have our own like little secret. And okay. No one will know why.
Matcha emoji.
But we can't make this too long because then people will keep saying, so bye everyone. Have a great time.
Mwah.